It's time now for The Other Side. And for that, we are joined by Orange County conservative Ashley Campbell here in the studio today. Conservative, libertarian, I never know what to call you.
Conservative is a bigger,
broader category.
Yeah. I kind of feel like sometimes it's used synonymously with just anybody who's on the right, which I wouldn't necessarily define it that way. I feel like conservatives are more of a liberty-based philosophy, you know, small government focused on individual natural rights, which overlaps with libertarian a lot. And it's not necessarily so always meaning socially conservative either.
Well, there's also kind of like the Burke Oakeshott literal definition of conservative as just an inclination to conserve, right? Whatever the status quo is.
Right, exactly. I think that it's accurate. And I think that there's just a tendency for most people who will call themselves conservative, you know, no matter how they might feel about social or economic policies or particular policies, that they are slower to kind of want to change. Like there's resistance to changing for the sake of change.
Right,
in other
right.
words.
I didn't mean to get immediately philosophical, but.
Oh, no, I think it always is good to revisit terms like that. And, you know, it informs conversation on a specific issue, and it's good to be on the same page.
Yeah. So this week we're talking about, actually we probably should be talking about the shutdown because that just ended.
Oh,
that's the most recent thing. But we actually talked about that 2 weeks ago because that's how long it went on. So this week we're talking about something that actually happened last week, right? It was a week.
Yes.
It was a little bit more than a week ago. It feels like forever, but that's 2019.
It does feel a little bit like forever, but it was Saturday.
This past Saturday,
last, so
yeah.
About a week and a half.
Which is two competing, not competing, but two simultaneous demonstrations that happened in Washington, D.C. You had the March for Life and the Indigenous Peoples March at the same time.
Right.
And then you had what everyone is talking about out of that, which is a group of kids from Covington Catholic High School making their way over from the March for Life, getting in some sort of confrontation with a protester or several protesters at the Indigenous Peoples rally, depending on what video you were watching. Was it one? Was it many? And therein lies the crux of the debate that spiraled from there, right?
Yeah.
Which I have to say, I did not see the video. I'm still got the strategy of don't click on sensationalism, don't click on clickbait, don't click on anything that's just people yelling at each other and nothing coming out of it. So I tried to avoid that altogether.
Yeah, well, I applaud you for that. First of all, I mean, I deactivated my Twitter account not too long ago, and I am glad I did because of this event in particular, because I feel like this is a lot of the issues that we're having just as a, you know, cultural division now or political division is so heightened on Twitter and is made worse by Twitter that I wish a lot more people would unplug from Twitter. Yeah. That said, I still had conversations, some more heated than others, about this event on Facebook, which I wish I could get off of. I will one day.
Yeah.
But
and this one does raise a lot of very kind of deep fundamental issues like race and class, and it reinforces a lot of the divisions and the debates that we have already. So, and it reinforces several of them all at once. So I think that's why people got particularly heated over this one.
Yes, it did. And, you know, I feel like it's sort of Kavanaugh part two in some ways, because a lot of the same people who are still unhappy about how, you know, Brett Kavanaugh was confirmed to the Supreme Court are angry at, you know, what they saw as a young white man mocking a Native American elder.
Right.
And
from a rich prep school as well. So there's
the
class thing as in addition.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. The religious class.
Yes.
Race. Sex.
Right.
So yeah, all of that. You know, and I can understand based off of what was initially reported and just the picture of the smirk, as it's called, and then the short video that was released initially, that a lot of people understandably were upset by how this looked. I mean, when I saw it, I just thought, oh my gosh, this is horrible. If this is what actually happened, but I'll wait and see. Mm-hmm. Let's wait and see for some more details. And, you know, sure enough, within, you know, a day, the story got a lot more complicated. But what I found really disparaging is that even though there was, you know, an hour and a half more video that was compiled, and there are things about Nathan Phillips, the Native American protester who was there, things about his background that he plainly wasn't telling the truth about, things about his initial narrative that he gave to the press that were contradicted by the video. I mean, there's still a lot of members of the press who initially reported on the story and disparaged the Covington Catholic High School kids for what seemed to be terrible behavior. You know, they said they retracted their stories in some cases apologized. In some cases, journalists doubled down on it. And I found that that was echoed in, you know, just a lot of, like, normal people, I'll call them, that, you know, just normal people that I'm friends with on Facebook.
I feel insulted, and I don't know why.
And, oh, really?
You've got journalists over here, and then you've got normal people over there.
Well, the reason I put it that way, no, that's fine. I'm glad you called me out on that. The reason I put it that way is because I hold journalists to
a higher standard. Yeah.
Like, journalistic ethics is a thing that they should be mindful of. And I know, I understand we live in an outrage culture and they're going to report on outrage, but I feel like too often Twitter is used as an assigning editor to steal an insight from Barry Weiss, who's an opinion editor, I think, for the New York Times. That's what she has said about Twitter, that there are just too many writers that that get their stories based on that and just what's trending. But a journalist should take the time to get all sides of a story, to collect the facts, to check out, you know, is everything that's being said here factual, that sort of thing.
Right.
And, you know, there's instead a rush to always be first.
Yeah. Which is sad because the one thing about social media, Twitter and Facebook, is we don't get our breaking news from traditional media outlets anymore. We get our breaking news from Twitter because Twitter's always going to be first. There's always going to be someone on the scene who tweets about it, which is a golden opportunity for media because we don't have to worry about breaking the story anymore. Twitter and Facebook will deal with that. Now the media has this great opportunity to devote itself to, all right, you've got the breaking news, you got that from social media. 24 hours later, we're going to come out with a fuller, more developed, more analytical picture of what went on, what happened, and why it matters. But we're still going for the breaking news and the first clicks, which I think is a lost opportunity.
Yeah, I know. I agree with your summary there. I just am dismayed that there's a lot of news outlets that don't seem to be willing to report on the fuller picture, and just other people that, you know, I engage with that weren't willing to accept that there were things that came out that sort of contradicted the initial narrative. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I just don't understand what to do in a situation like that, because it's not possible to have a conversation, you know, or have a peaceful society even unless we're willing to deal with the facts on the ground and how things happen. And I'm sure that there's probably instances where I've, you know, because everybody is biased in some sort of way, where I've turned into a blind eye toward, you know, things I didn't want to see, but I try not to do that. But with this case, it just seemed to be total lack of interest, and instead people just wanted to double down on what they originally saw was a problem. And even if they were willing to say, like, oh, okay, well, it was more complicated than we first thought. Nathan Phillips is the person who walked into the group of students. Build a wall chants aren't audible on video, just for example. They'll say, well, you know, well, it doesn't really matter because this is a white rich kid wearing a MAGA hat, so he has to be racist.
Mm. Speaking with Ashley Campbell, I think it's partly on, we've been talking about the role of the media and the role of journalists. I think it's also on the normal people as well, right? Like everyone who's participating in that debate and reading the stories or learning about them on Twitter and reacting to it, to accept the fact that issues are complex, right? Like,
right.
We have a tendency to think, oh, whatever my position is 100% right. Every argument that you can make in support of it is 100% right. Everyone on my side is 100% good. Everyone on the other side is 100% bad. Like, I don't think anyone comes out of this confrontation looking spectacular, right? Like, there were the initial people who provoked the kids, and then you've got the kids who are being provoked and get provoked, right? To the point where they're now... Yeah. Confronting back. And the way that we all respond to it is, well, we've got to double down and support our side or the people that we think of as being on our side, when in reality, like, there's people who are just in the middle of a heated confrontation getting provoked and saying things they probably shouldn't. And
right. And I mean, they're probably, with all of the events that happen in Washington,
right.
D.C., you know, confrontations like this that happen all the time.
I mean, we've seen several on McCorkle Place, right?
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
We have our own local. I mean, I'm definitely willing to say that I don't quite understand why the chaperones and teachers of Covington Catholic School didn't try to move the kids, maybe.
Yeah.
We also need to not only take time to wait for all the facts of a story to come out, but, you know, just going back to social media and how it influences how we think about things, people that are verified accounts, oftentimes celebrities or whatnot, saying, you know, even after a fuller picture had emerged, you know, things like, you know, these kids should be doxxed, their lives should be ruined, musicians offering signed records or things I can't even say on the air, if somebody would go punch these kids, and that they deserve to have to be locked in school and have it burned to the ground. It's a real challenging flashpoint in our culture wars, is the way I see it. And you know, I think that the blue check marks on Twitter, whether they're celebrities or journalists, need to take their role a lot more seriously, because I think that they're doing a lot to damage our culture, because I see it, you know, trickling down to just conversations I have with people that I'm friends with on social media. I just wish people could do more thinking for themselves, maybe, is the point I'm trying to get at.
We'll leave it there. Ashley Campbell, thank you so much.
Thank you.